Why do governments rely on the sales tax for big projects like this translational medicine proposal in Jackson County next Tuesday? And how fat can the sales tax get before shoppers stop buying? Here to talk about the sales tax is Jeff Pinkerton. He's a senior researcher at the Mid-America Regional Council here in Kansas City. Jeff, good to have you.
Good morning. Good to be here, Steve.
On the phone with us from Washington, Joseph Henchman. He's vice president of legal and state projects for the Tax Foundation. That's a nonpartisan tax research group based in Washington, D.C. Joseph, good morning to you, too. Nice to have you.
Hi, great to be with you.
Well, Jeff, why do community leaders and politicians these days continually, it seems, look at the sales tax as a tax of choice for almost any project coming down the pike, it seems?
Well, I think cities see that as a revenue source that they can control. Through economic development, you can go out and try to enhance or encourage retailers to be in your jurisdiction so you can reap the benefits from those retail sales taxes down the line.
Joe, is this a national trend around the country, this heavy reliance on the sales tax these days?
I think so, because a lot of people see it as a fair tax. Jeff mentioned how cities can control it. Well, consumers can somewhat control it as well. Depending on how much you buy and sell, you adjust how much in sales tax that you pay. And especially for a lot of states that have exempted necessities like food and other grocery items, that enables it to be a relatively fair tax in the public's mind.
And so, Joe, you're seeing other municipalities, other governments around the country. Everyone seems to be turning to the sales tax these days. Do I have that right?
Yeah, we've got about 9,600 jurisdictions in the United States that collect sales tax, most of which are at the local level. These are townships and special districts and cities and counties all over the country. We've seen sales tax rates steadily increasing over time. And I think that's a sign of an increasing reliance on the sales tax and less on, say, property taxes, which 100 years ago was funded all of state and local government.
Yeah. And Joe, is there a point at which the sales tax simply becomes too high? Is there much research that's been done on maybe the psychology of shoppers, you know, when the sales tax hits 10% or 12% or 15%? Is there a point where shoppers sort of say, no mas?
There's been a little bit of research, but not a lot of real good academic peer-reviewed study. But some of the anecdotal evidence that we've seen in the United States is there's a bit of a psychological barrier at 10% for local and state and local combined sales taxes. Chicago breached that very briefly, and then they brought that back down to 9.75% after citizen outrage. Overseas in Europe, where they, of course, rely very heavily on a type of sales tax called a value-added tax or
right.
VAT. The rates don't really get much higher than about maybe in the high 20s. So there's another psychological barrier around 30% or so. Of course, what really matters, not more than what the absolute rate is what's the rate compared to neighboring states. So we have counties in northern New Jersey, southern New Jersey, which borders Delaware. They've petitioned the state successfully to charge half the sales tax that's charged in the rest of the state because a lot of their residents were going over to Delaware to buy a lot of products. So it really doesn't really matter what their sales tax rate when it's a big differential. When the sales tax on one side of the border is much higher than on the other side of the border, that's where you see a lot of economic activity going across the border.
But in this,
we hear similar stories between Vermont and New Hampshire and between the city of Chicago and the suburbs of Chicago.
But in this country, you're saying there's still something of a psychological barrier when it comes to the 10% mark. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think so. And not a lot of places have come to it. The closest are, as I mentioned, in Chicago and some California cities and in the state of Tennessee, all of which have stayed in the single digits. I don't know. There's something about double digits that people feel like it's maybe getting out of hand. But given the trajectory of the sales tax, we may find out for sure whether that really is a barrier or not.
Jeff Pinkerton, again, with the Mid-America Regional Council. Can you break down the sales tax for us in Kansas City? How high is it, and where does that money go?
Well, it depends on where you are in Kansas City. You have, on the Missouri side of the state line, Missouri state tax is a little bit lower than it is on the Kansas side, but you tend to see the counties on the Missouri side tack on a little bit more than they have freedom to do on the Kansas side. So overall, the tax rates between Missouri and Kansas are pretty comparable. It's the makeup that's different. On Missouri, it's a little bit more heavily weighted towards the cities and counties. On the Kansas side, it's a little bit more heavily weighted towards the state of Kansas.
And the sales tax within Kansas City, Missouri, would range roughly from how much to how much? You said there's different rates depending on where you are in the city.
Sure.
And we'll talk about these special taxing districts in a moment, the Country Club Plaza being one,
right,
the Power and Light District being another. Give me just a rough sense of what the range is for the sales tax in Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, in Jackson County, it's 8.35, and you get up to the Platte County, it's 8.475. And in just those are the base tax rates.
Okay. How about on the Kansas side? Do you have those handy there, too?
Sure. Kansas City, Kansas, just under 9% at 8.925, right around there. And Lenexa, 8.9. Overland Park, 8.65.
Okay. And if you get into one of the special taxing districts I just mentioned, where there's an added rate established to help maintain those areas of the city, the Country Club Plaza, the Power and Light District, what happens to the sales tax rate there?
Yeah, it shoots up. You remember, these cities are trying to encourage retail sales into their area. So to do that, they're offering tax breaks to encourage those retailers to be there. And to pay for those benefits, they're allaying taxes for these retailers for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, in like for the Legends, for example, it shoots up to 9.525%. Overland Park, the Deer Creek Woods area, 9.65%. So you're approaching that 10% barrier in different parts throughout the region on both sides of the state line, honestly.
And the Country Club Plaza, what is that area?
I don't have the Country Club Plaza's rate.
But no one's breached the 10% line, it doesn't sound like, that we were talking with Joe about.
It doesn't look like some of these districts may be on top of each other. You might have a community improvement district on top of a transportation district. So it does look like there are some areas that just barely top the 10%, but it's hard for us to tell whether or not there's any retail activity in those areas.
Yeah. Let me get our listeners involved here. Is the sales tax too high? Do you pay much attention to it when you make a purchase? And how many of you hop across the state line to make some purchases and then hop back to the other side to make others because you have issues with the size of the sales tax? Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888, and our email address uptodate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Again, Jeff, so the money that's collected, it goes to different jurisdictions, right? Can you give me just a rough sense on the Kansas City, Missouri side? Once the money is collected, the 8.5% or 9%, where does the money wind up going then once it's in the pockets of different government officials?
Sure. In Kansas City, Missouri, the 2.875, the current sales tax, that's going 1% is going to capital improvements, public mass transit, KCATA gets a share, firefighters, parks, public safety.
So again, of the entire 8.5% or 9%, like 2.8% of it goes to the city, you're saying, and another chunk goes to the county. And how does that play out?
The county in Jackson County, it's 1.25%, and the state's at 4.225%.
Okay, so all those things get added up when you make a purchase and you pay one sales tax that gets siphoned off to these different entities.
Yeah. Exactly. So in just roughly, about half of it's going to the state, a small portion, maybe 20% going to the county and the rest going to the city.
Joseph Henchman, again, he's vice president of legal and state projects for the Tax Foundation out in D.C. Do our rates out here sound pretty typical? Do they sound high or low to you as you look around the country, Joe?
Well, they're fairly high compared nationally, because we're talking in both Missouri and Kansas around 7 or 8 or even a little bit higher in percent. The average sales tax in the country is around 6 or 7%, but it's you of course have to balance it against the other taxes that you're paying and what's typical for some large cities. So Kansas City being a big city, it's pretty similar to what residents of other big cities throughout the country are paying. And, of course, taxes are the cost. You have to compare it to the benefits that you're getting from your government, too.
But in general, you're saying that our rates out here, they're above the national average, it sounds like, but comparable to what is paid in other big cities around the country.
Correct. And, just to highlight on something that Jeff said, taking Missouri as an example, your state tax is 4.225%. That's a pretty low state sales tax. the rest of your sales tax, all the other percentages on top of that 4.225, that's all the local jurisdictions. So you're paying a fairly hefty local sales tax burden in Kansas City.
Okay. Let's go back to some phone calls here, and let's go to Paul from Kansas City, Missouri. Paul, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I just kind of wanted to offer a perspective. First of all, thanks for the respectful discussion.
Sure.
I own a small business here in Kansas City, Missouri, and just a comment. I feel like that perspective hasn't really been offered too much in this debate.
Right.
But, you know, I guess I'm against the proposal, and the reason is, you know, we're forced to collect sales tax from our customers. So every marginal increase of that, it's taken from our customers, and that's money they can't spend on other small businesses in the area. So, you know, we're extracting essentially $800 million from the economy that could be going to other small businesses and put into this very select, you know, we're, of course, I'm for translational research, but, you know, I feel like this is the sort of thing. You reach that tipping point as you get close to 10% where people say, especially on bigger items, you know, wow, I just may not make that purchase.
Did your customers complain about the sales tax very much, Paul, or not really?
They do, yeah, in general. I mean, I haven't talked to them specifically about this one, but
right.
Especially they get with it, and they're like, wow, that's a big number. You know, we try to let them know it's coming.
Yeah, okay. So. Paul, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Brian from Gladstone. Brian, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Yeah, I was at a grocery store up off I-29 the other night, and I bought, I think, two or three items. And I looked on the receipt, and it, like, said tax one, and it was, like, 8.7 or 8%.
Right.
And it was tax two on one of the other totals, and that total for that tax on that item was over 11%. Do you have any idea what that went for or how that worked out?
Yeah, can you give me any sense of that?
Brian brings up a very good point on how complicated some of our sales taxes are. And Paul, the business owner, I mean, he mentioned he's the one who has to collect it. So sales tax is unlike a lot of other taxes where we have our businesses as essentially uncompensated tax collectors, having to collect sales tax from customers. And so at least as far as the tax foundation is concerned, that creates an obligation on the state and local governments to try to make it as simple as possible. And for the most part, states and local governments are failing in that effort.
Mm-hmm.
They're assessing different taxes on different things. My guess is maybe there's an extra tax on candy or an extra tax on junk food or an extra tax on some non-grocery item that he bought. I know Missouri has a lower sales tax on groceries, but you know, already we're talking about three different tax rates, and there's probably more. Most of our conversation here has been about the tax rate. There's also the tax base. What is taxed? And we actually don't tax a lot in the United States. The average sales tax only applies to about 30% of what people buy. A lot of what people buy are excluded from the sales tax, not just groceries, but also things like personal services, things you buy on the internet, and so forth. And as you narrow down the sales tax base and focus it just on a small group of items, that means the rate has to be that much higher on what you do tax.
All right. I want to thank Joe Henchman with the Tax Foundation out in D.C. Joe, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
And also Jeff Pinkerton. He's a senior researcher at the Mid-America Regional Council. Jeff, thanks for bringing in all those good numbers. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Steve.